Hallelujah. Well, I'm excited because just for a few minutes, I know the Lord has something to deposit. It's already deposited so much to me today. I feel like I'm kind of full. But I'm excited because I believe that we're in a great season. A couple of weeks ago, if you were here when I was preaching, I shared with you that we're in a season of harvest. It's like the beginning stages of what God wants to do to bring in more people into the kingdom. And I've seen it. I've tasted it. It's almost like if one or two experience it, what can we expect more? Well, the Lord is interested in the one and two, but he's interested also in the mass people. He's interested in the masses. So I am convinced that what's happening in Kerala, there's a church group of 70 people to 100 people. Come on, I am going to prophesy over you as a church. Right now, this is a word from the Lord. I really feel the word from the Lord. The Lord is going to multiply 10 times in Jesus' name. We're looking at a 10-time increase. I'm seeing it not so much in a one building edifice. I'm seeing it in the multiple campuses. In the name of Jesus. I'm seeing it as a ministry that's going to rise, that's going to impact the homes, the lives, I just sense in my spirit, time of harvest is now for Kerala. Time of harvest is now for India, in the name of Jesus. Persecution is rising, but God laughs at those who mock him. And the Lord says, what do you think you're doing? You think you can attack my church? Watch and see what I'll do. I'm going to raise it up stronger, stronger in power, stronger in number. Increase it in Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Amen. I'm convinced that the Lord is preparing us as a people. This is a time of preparation. It's a time to experience God in a new way. It's a time to get a hold of some God who is alive and powerful and wants to move on you more than you could ask or imagine. So when you get into that place, you know, we were here a couple of weeks back and I started to preach on Isaiah chapter 6. And I really felt the Lord say, that won't be your text today, but I really feel I need to make reference to it quickly. And the reference is, you know, in Isaiah 6, if you were here, it's a majestic revelation or a vision that God gives to Isaiah. And if you can just bring it up quickly, Isaiah 6, and we'll just look at a couple of verses there. But in that place, the Lord, and then I'm going to launch into another text. But listen, in that place, Isaiah saw the Lord. Isaiah got his eyes off of something, whatever that was for him. In this case, it was King Uzziah. And King Uzziah died. Isaiah got his eyes on the... Come on. Where did he get his eyes? On the Lord. High and exalted, seated on a throne, train of his robe, filled the temple. Keep going. And in that place, he was taken into a vision. And above the Lord were seraphims and angels with six wings, with two wings that covered their faces, with two wings that covered their feet, and with two they were flying. Keep going. And they were calling to one another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is filled with full of the glory, full of his glory. I'm convinced that the Lord wants us to get a vision that the whole earth is full of his glory. Let me tell you something. By my natural eyes, it's not. Even our nation is not full of his glory. Come on, are you following me? Do you think Canada reflects the glory of God? No. Do you think our communities, our province reflects the glory in the natural, in the real sense of what we see? It's not. But angels are saying it like as it is. Do you see that? So the angels are already proclaiming it. So what we got to do is we got to get in line with that. When we get into line with that, it says, it prophetically speaking, when you look at this text in other verses, it says, there's coming a time when the whole earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. Listen, angels are already seeing it. Now it's time for us to get the knowledge. Angels are starting to see it. They're already seeing it. It's time for us to get a revelation. It's time for us to see that the earth, that the people of this earth are filled with the knowledge, filled with the glory of God. So this is going to shift gears now quickly. I want to go to a passage in John chapter 4. This is a little bit of the text. As I said to you earlier, message today is to encourage us to be witnesses for Jesus, to be those who are getting ready and preparing for the harvest that I am convinced the Lord is already sending us. Here's a passage. If you know the story well, so I'm going to quickly give it to you. Some of you may not have much of an idea. Most of you probably do. But let me give you a quick recap here. This story is about Jesus evangelizing. Jesus being a witness. Jesus, who is our Lord, is also our example. Amen? This is a story of Jesus showing us that how to live. How we're to move. Well, Jesus lived with a constant communion with the Father, led by the Holy Spirit. He says, I do, John chapter 5, he says, I do only which I see the Father doing. I don't do anything of my own accord. I won't look at the reference. It's in John chapter 5, I think 17, 18, 19, somewhere there. But the Lord walked like that. Jesus was led by the Spirit in his walk with God. So as he's being led by the Spirit, it's interesting because when you're led by the Spirit, you might be taken to places that are stranger than your natural course. You might be taken to places and into situations that aren't necessarily the way you should go. I'll give you an example. It says here in John 4, it says here, now in verse 4, now he had to go through Samaria. Why? Now it's interesting because when the Lord is going to the next town, the straight route would not be through Samaria. Geographically. He's in one town, things are happening, you know, people were coming to experience God, but it says now he had to go through Samaria. He came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of the ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus tried as he was tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about the sixth hour, which is at noon. It was midday. And when a Samaritan woman came to draw water, listen, you got to see this. He's in a place that he normally wouldn't go, the route that he wouldn't normally take. He went there with the full intention, Holy Spirit leading. He gets there. There's a woman. Number one, a woman. Number two, a Samaritan woman. Number three, as you notice in a few minutes, a woman who wouldn't, most people would say, loose living. First of all, a man in those days wouldn't talk to a woman. Number two, because he's a Jew, he wouldn't talk to a half-breed. Samaritan was somebody who was a half-breed, you know? I'm just saying that because that's a fact. The reason is this, guys. It's a culture. So something has happened. What does the Lord see? The Lord doesn't look on the outward appearance. He's looking at the heart. How many of that's a verse in the Bible? So the Lord is... It says here, Jesus begins a conversation with this woman. Now, what does the Lord see? The Lord sees glory. The Lord sees glory. The Lord sees treasure. What does the woman see? She sees her guilt, her shame. He sees precious. He sees somebody who is to be loved, looking for love in the wrong places, never finding it. She's been with four or five husbands, and the man she's with now is not her husband. Can't find love. She's looking for something to satisfy her, which the world hasn't yet. It will never will. She's looking for a thirst to be quenched. The Lord asks of her a drink. The conversation goes like this. The Lord said, give me a drink. His disciples had gone into town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, you're a Jew. I'm a Samaritan. How can you ask me for a drink? Right? We talked about that already. For Jews did not associate with Samaritans. See right there. Jesus answered, if you knew the gift of God, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. He would have given you something that's going to satisfy you that you will never thirst again. That thirst that's in you, which you're trying to quench in a fleshly way, is a deeper thirst that only I can meet, that I can quench. So the woman said, you have nothing to draw with. She's still thinking on a natural level. And the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank from it himself, as did all his sons and his flocks and herds? Jesus answered, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. And she said, sir, give me this water so I don't have to be thirsty again and keep coming to the water to draw. And he says, go call your husband and come back. She said, I have no husband, she replied. Then the Lord, through a word of knowledge, she hadn't shared anything with the Lord, but the Lord uses a word of knowledge and a prophetic insight, says to her, listen, Jesus said to her, verse 17, you're right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you've had five husbands, and the man you're with now is not your husband. What you said is quite true. Sir, the woman said, how can it? Oh, all of a sudden, I can see that you're a prophet. And then they go into a conversation further into that thing. And Jesus is talking about worship. And I'm going to bypass that passage on worship for a minute. And as we go into the next section of this passage, it says here, the woman was so touched by God that, verse 25, skip to 25. The woman said, she went, I know the Messiah is coming, called the Christ. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. Jesus declared, I who speak to you am he. This is it. You've seen the Messiah. Just then, the disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking to a woman. Remember? Didn't do it in that day. It was not kosher. And then it says here, but no one asked, what do you want? Or why are you talking with her? Then leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ? Hey, one gets touched by God and the harvest comes in. Come on, have a look at this. It says here, this woman went back and shared with the town, could this be the Christ? They came out of the town and made their way toward him. Meanwhile, his disciples urged him to eat something. He said to them, I have food to eat that you don't know anything about. Then the disciples said to each other, could someone have brought him food? They're thinking natural, he's thinking spiritual. He says, my food, said Jesus, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say 4 months and then the harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Even now, the reaper draws his wages. Even now, the harvest and harvest crops. He harvests the crops for eternal life so that the sower and the reaper may be glad. Let's get touched by God. Let's get a revelation of God that he's the one who satisfies completely. Let's get somebody saved. Let's be a witness. Let's have the eyes of Jesus. Is it possible that God has put some annoying person for you to work with right now so you actually can be a light? Is it possible that God has put someone who, you know, just frustrates you in your neighborhood, that just, you know, they're always just whatever. You understand? Is it possible that you and I need to look with the eyes of Jesus and look beyond what we see in the natural to see the glory? Is it possible when the Lord looked at all the natural, he said, you know what? I'm going after the gold, man. I'm going after the treasure that's in the heart of that person, because that person is the one I've given my life for, to redeem and to rescue. Because when he rescues, and when he redeems, and when he saves the one that you think didn't, you know, wouldn't be qualified, you watch and see the harvest coming in. Last Saturday. Yeah. I met this young man who came to our church two or three times. I didn't connect with him. But last Saturday, I met this young guy who originally came from India. His name is Jobin. How many met him or know who I'm talking about? Okay. Anyway, so Jobin was here, and I really felt in my spirit I needed to connect with this young man after Saturday. So, yeah, Barry's right. He says, were you out fishing? So he got talking. He said, I hear you go fishing. Do you think we might be able to go fishing, Jobin? I said, yeah, I want to take an opportunity to really get to know this guy. So yesterday, Roy and Jobin and I went fishing. Now listen, the story's not about fishing. The story is about a young man, listen, a young man who got radically saved in PEI from India, running from God, trying to satisfy every need that he thought he had, and he was living for the world, living for pleasure. I mean, he shared the story. Come on. And all of a sudden, boom! Encounters Jesus to a point where this guy says, do you know what? So he encounters Jesus, things start falling off his life, things that were securities for him. Come on, listen. This is Isaiah's story. When he meets God in glory, he sheds off the things he trusted in. And he says, woe is me, I'm a man of unclean lips. And the Lord comes and takes the coal off the altar, cleans him up. And this guy, I didn't know he was 31. I thought he was 21. But he, of course, obviously he's lived quite a bit of a life here. And both in just achievements and whatever. It doesn't matter. But the point is, here's a young guy. He says, God, what is it you want me to do? Like Isaiah, once he gets his heart right with God, The first thing he says is, Lord, here I am, send me. I wish I had time to get him to share a story. Hey, he might come to the picnic. You may want to pick on him. He's at his church where he started to attend Calvary Church. And today's the last Sunday. On Monday, he's going back to India to serve God. He's given himself over to God, and he's going to be a missionary to a tribal people. In a part of India, he doesn't even know the language, but he says the Lord's given him already four languages. He believes he's going to get that one too. One man. I'm giving you an example. And a harvest is going to come in. Y'all see what I'm getting at here? One woman. And a harvest starts to come in. You willing to be that man in some capacity? Are you willing to be a person in some capacity? Say, Lord, here I am. God may not, certainly doesn't call everybody to this particular spot or that particular mission field that he's going to. But let me tell you, you're a missionary. We're a witness whether we know it or not. Means people look at you and look at me and they see something. What are they seeing in me that's drawing them to Jesus? Or what are they seeing in me that's actually turning them away from Jesus? Let me tell you something. Some people think that it's about, you know, their strength and their ability or lack of ability. It's just about getting your eyes on Jesus. One more scripture. My dear Shelley, my dear wife, I'm almost done, wherever you are, because she's out there. Okay. She's just coming in the door again. So get the kids outside. Hallelujah. Okay. This is the last scripture I want to share. A scripture that was shared earlier. I think it was shared in a prayer meeting upstairs, because that was on my heart to share. When anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. 2 Corinthians 3. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Read that. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 17, 18, something like that. When anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. So Isaiah turns to the Lord, and the veil is removed. Woman of Samaria turns to the Lord, and the veil is removed. Job turns to the Lord, and the veil is removed. This veil is over the eyes of the one who turns to the Lord. Now you as a believer and I as a believer need to turn to the Lord. I need to see him as my example. I need to just say, what is it, Lord, that you want me to do? Just be available. Say, here I am, send me. Man, I wish I had a half hour, 20 minutes, but don't. I'll honor my wife. I just say to you today, this is a message to encourage us, to motivate us, to show us that this is the hour. This is the day of harvest. This is the day the Lord is bringing in and giving us opportunities. I am praying today, God. This is my prayer for you. God, would you remove the veil over my eye? Would you remove the veil over my eye that doesn't see it like you see it? God, remove the veil over my eyes that doesn't see people like you see them. Remove the veil from my eyes, Lord, that I see as you see. Remove the veil off the eyes of the people here, God, that we would see with the heart of Jesus. We would see the treasure, the glory, the good, the God that wants to rise up in them. I pray that for me and that for the people gathered here that are listening to this message. Remove the veil over our eyes, not only to see others like you want us to see them. I pray, God, remove the veil over your eyes to see you, yourself, as God would want to see you. Any shame, gone in Jesus' name. Any condemnation, gone in the Jesus' name. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. I pray that the veil over your eyes of judgment, condemnation, guilt, as it's washed in the blood of Jesus, it's gone. Fear, come on, veil of fear, be removed now in Jesus' name. I pray for strength, boldness, and courage to rise. I pray that God would keep us humble. Remove the veil over our eyes, Lord, of any pride and arrogance and self-sufficiency, self-righteousness. Come on, boom. In Jesus' name, all that stuff gone. I pray that you'd get our eyes on Jesus to see ourselves and see others as Jesus sees them. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen.